This is The Beat, a podcast series that keeps you in the know about the latest community policing topics facing our nation.
Hello and welcome. My name is Kimberly Brummett, and on behalf of the COPS office, I'd like to introduce you to Cheryl Fiandaca. Ms. Fiandaca is the chief of the Public Information Bureau at the Boston Police Department and has been nationally recognized in the media for her role in using social media, specifically Twitter, to get information out to the public during the Boston Marathon bombings and subsequent manhunt. Today, she is here with us to discuss not only the challenges and successes during that tense time period, but also some of her lessons learned and promising practices in using social media to convey law enforcement information to the public. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So, prior to the Marathon bombings, you were brought into the department by Commissioner Davis to increase the department's social media presence. What was your strategy for doing this, and what were some of the opportunities and challenges that the commissioners presented you with?
Well, a couple of things. One, I was really focused on the social media as well and saw this as a real opportunity to be able to tell the department's story, to break its own news, and to sort of control the flow of information that was coming out of the police department. I was fortunate in that the infrastructure was already here, so I inherited a pretty robust social media presence already. So we already had folks on Twitter, we already had a Facebook page, and we already had a blog set up called bpdnews.com. All I did was start to use it in a different way. So in addition to just pushing out information that we were giving to the media, we were pushing out information before we were giving it to the media. So if we had an event happen, we took that as an opportunity to blog the information, to put it on Facebook, and to tweet it. So the media could take that information from our blog, and they could go and do their own stories and use that information to do whatever they would normally do. But we were putting out the information first, which gave us a great opportunity to be able to be the source for information that was coming out of the Boston Police Department. The challenge of that is it's time-consuming, and I'm fortunate that I've got folks here that work in the office, three civilians and three police officers, who all blog, tweet, and do Facebook. So we've used that as an opportunity to try to get our stories out, good, bad, and the ugly ones. And if we're telling them ourselves, it takes the sting out of the bad stories, and it helps us really refocus what we really want to talk about, which is, you know, which are our good stories.
Great. So during the aftermath of the bombings, the department's Twitter feed was a lifeline to Bostonians and grew from approximately 50,000 followers to more than 300,000 followers in less than a week. What strategies did you and your team employ to keep up with the demand for information?
Well, what we did is we had already been training the media and other folks to go to our blog and to follow us on Twitter. So at the time that the explosions happened at the marathon, it was, you know, Boston's traditionally, as the Boston Marathon is very, very important in the city of Boston. It's a state holiday, so state offices are closed. Approximately 40,000 runners take place, to take part in the race. It's a major event. The 500,000 people line the route, and the 26.2 miles. So it's a big, big event. So when the explosions happened, I only had one person working in my office. And similar to what happened during the September 11th attacks, the phone service was not working. The cell phone service was pretty much out. You would get a call, but you wouldn't be able to answer a call. And that went on for a little bit. And that was basically due to just the volume of calls. A lot of people thought that we did something to stop calls from going through because we were concerned about bombs, using cell phones to detonate bombs, but that was not true. So Twitter really became a lifeline for us. And so at that moment, I was able to tweet out information letting people know that we did have explosions, that we did need people to clear the end of the marathon running route so that we could let first responders get in and be able to transport victims. We were able to update that information to let them know that we were looking for video, to let them know that we did have injuries. And it really became, information is power. Mm-hmm. And it's important to empower people and to let them know what was happening. In addition to that we had a tremendous amount of fear that we had to deal with. And by letting people know what was happening, you were addressing some of that fear. So you could say, okay, this is what we know so far. And it was still developing, and we were still, in the very early stages of an investigation. But it was important to let people know what was happening and to keep them informed the best we could throughout the week with what was happening with the investigation, when we were holding news conferences, correcting misinformation when folks were tweeting and getting on TV saying that we had a suspect in custody when we did not, putting out the pictures of the actual suspects that we did have, asking for the public's help to track those folks down, and all the way through to, you know, asking people to shelter in place and letting them know what was happening during the manhunt. So it became a really good way for us to communicate not only with traditional media, but with media that, you know, hadn't really been following us because we were getting inquiries from all over the world, and to let just regular people who wanted to know what was happening and to keep up with the investigation and to know from the source what the truth was about what we were doing and what was happening that entire week.
So what were some of the lessons that you and your team learned, and did anything from the event change your strategy or your approach to Twitter and social media going forward?
Well, I would say, you know, the lessons learned for me, anyway, I was so lucky to have a Twitter account in place when this happened. If I had to have started a Twitter account that day, I think I would have been quite challenged trying to push the information out. So I would say the first step that any organization that really feels that they could be dealing with a crisis would need to do is set up the infrastructure, have a Twitter account, have a blog, have a Facebook page, start a following with however you'd like to break news. Also, I think what we were fortunate here, because I had folks that have been here a while and knew what information needed to be tweeted out, what information we weren't going to tweet out. So you have to have someone that's responsible for handling a lot of that. And what's your message? What is it that you need to let people know? And you have to maintain that flow of information. And that is challenging because you can't just take a leadership role in pushing information out through social media on day one and then drop off the face of the earth for the rest of the week. I mean, we had to continue that flow of information to let people know that this was a reliable, accurate place to find out what was happening to the best that we could without jeopardizing an investigation. I mean, another one of the lessons that I would say that we've learned is that it's essential to communicate internally, externally with your partners, and to communicate with the media and, you know, the community. That's the key to all of this, and managing it is challenging. We had morning calls where we all got on calls with all of our partners in the morning to talk about what everybody was going to be dealing with on that particular day. And it was helpful. Was it enough? Probably not, but it was something, and it was something that all of us knew at 9 o'clock in the morning we were all going to be able to say where we were with what our day was going to start to look like. We also started an email chain with public information folks that we were dealing with on a local level. So while our morning call was set up with Washington people as well, the chain of emails with public information people involved the FBI, the state police, the Boston police, and some of the other police agencies that were involved in the investigation. That helped us to stay in touch with each other on a daily basis. So if something was happening, we could send out an email that everybody got and we could all respond to. We also, you know, went to 12-hour staffing shifts here, which is, you know, really important, and they weren't even long enough. Folks were saying, you know, 16 hours, 18 hours a day. It's important also to give people an area of responsibility. I mean, in addition to dealing with the media and dealing with the social media, we had reporters and live trucks out on the street, and while Boston is a city, it gets very small when you start adding in all of these giant satellite trucks. So someone has to manage where they go and how they're set up and where all of their cables can run. We had people staying at hotels. We had people staying, so they wanted to do live shots outside hotel rooms. We had people that wanted to get as close to the scene as they could. You know, we had various scenes. We had the MIT officer shot. There was another scene there. So all of that has to be managed by somebody that can be out on the street to do that. I would also say that a joint information center, which we set up with outside agencies, which each of us sent a staff person to, was also helpful, and we funneled calls into that. So we kept our message with all of these agencies consistent. So we were retweeting, you know, each other and just trying to stay on the same page. And I would say, you know, logistics, making sure that you have a central location for news conferences, decide who's going to speak, who's going to be on the podium, and what's the point of the news conference? Is it an update on the investigation? Are you releasing pictures? I think all of that kind of has to be addressed in a pre-meeting before the news conference. So, you know, it's a lot to manage. And, you know, the other part of it is don't be afraid to ask for help. You know, I was lucky. I did reach out to my counterpart at the NYPD and said, do you have any suggestions? Can you offer me any advice? And he was quite gracious and helpful and did both. So I would say to not be worried about doing that, that can be a nice resource.
That's great. Well, thank you for your time today, and we look forward to hearing more from you and your team at the Boston Police Department on innovative ways to use social media. And thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
The Beat was brought to you by the United States Department of Justice Cops Office. The Cops Office helps to keep our nation's communities safe by giving grants to law enforcement agencies, developing community policing publications, developing partnerships, and solving problems.
The opinions contained herein are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official position or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice. References to specific agencies, companies, products, or services should not be considered an endorsement by the authors or the U.S. Department of Justice. Rather, the references are illustrations to supplement discussion of the issues.